Today's Shia is Masechta Avodah Zara Daf Chavav. We will begin Beja Hashem Yisbaruch on Daf Chavav Amun Aleph at the Mishnah. Teaches us the Mishnah, Bas Yisrael Loi Tiyaled as Avodah Chachavim, a Jewish woman should not help a Nachris help have a baby. Neshmiel Dasben Avodah Chachavim. What she's doing is she's helping someone who will worship Avodah Zara. Come into the world. Aval, Avodas Kachavim, someone who's a Nachris, Miladis Bas Yisrael, could help a Jewish woman have a baby. So the reason a Jewish woman should not help a non-Jewish woman have a baby is because the Torah Kedosha says, V'shem Elohim, Acherim, Laisaskiru, Laishama Apicha. We're not allowed to cause that there should be Avodas Zara in the world. And by bringing such a child into the world, we're bringing Avodah Zara to the world. And therefore, the Rishonim suggest that the same halacha would apply, that we may not participate in helping a Nachris, of helping a Nachri get Panasa. Because again, it keeps on helping him build a family. It causes that we should bring more Avodah Zara to the world, which of course. But on the other hand, Avodas Kachavim could help a Jewish woman have a baby. But as we're going to be learning in the Gemara quite extensively, there are many details: who and when and where. Continues the Mishnah Bas Yisrael Leitenik B'nai Shel Avodas Kachavim, a Jewish woman should not participate in helping a non-Jewish woman in nursing her baby. Because again, the exact same consideration. We're bringing Avodah Zara to the world, and we have to avoid doing that. And on the other hand, Avodas Kachavim Menika B'nai Shel Yisrael, Avodas Kachavim can nurse a Jewish child, Bereshusai, in the home of Yisraelis. As we're going to learn the Gemara, that in the home of a Nachris, there's a concern what she will do. And in fact, we're trying to point out that this halacha applies to the previous halacha as well, when the Nachris is helping a Jewish woman have a baby. It's only in the Jewish woman's home where we can watch and supervise what's happening. And they explain, so why didn't the Mishnah say it there as well? And they explain, the reason the Mishnah didn't say it over there as well is because it's obvious in those days that a Jewish woman had a baby in her own home. And since she had the baby in her own home, that's going to make sure that we have that issue. Nursing was not necessarily done in the Jewish woman's home, and that's why the Mishnah had to specify it. The Mishnah said that a Jewish woman is allowed to nurse, a Jewish baby is allowed to nurse from a non-Jewish woman in the home of the Jew. But there's a new consideration that many discuss when we learn this halacha. And that is the halacha, may or should a Jewish child nurse from a non-Jewish woman when we have a real concern that he's going to be nursing non-kosher milk, because the mother, the non-Jewish woman, that is her diet. Her diet is non-kosher food. And because of that question, the some Rishonim say that only under dire circumstances may a Jewish child nurse from a non-Jewish woman. Otherwise, that we should be concerned about the effect of the non-kosher milk, that the non-kosher food that she eats, how it affects the child. There are other Rishonim who ever take the position that even though, of course, a Jewish child should not eat non-kosher food, it does not, however, apply to the milk that he's nursing from the non-Jewish woman. That isn't considered something truly non-kosher. In fact, the Mefarshim asked, the Pasuk says, Hinika Bonim Sara, and the Pasuk says, Bonim, Lashon Rabim, and Rashi explains that on that day, many people brought to Sarah their children, and they were nursed by Sarah. But we just learned, asked the Sefer Merav San Igra, that the Mishnah taught us that a Jewish woman should not nurse a bas ben Ivek Chavim. So how was Sarah allowed to do this? So Chaim Kanievsky actually answered to this question, suggests that the babies that Sarah actually nursed were all babies from, we know the Medrash teaches us, Avram Megayer Anoshim, Sarah Megayeris as Anoshim, that Avram and Sarah converted many people, and these were their children. That's one teretz that Chaim Kanievsky suggests. Another explanation that I saw is that the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama, when they bring this halacha, that a Jewish woman should not nurse a non-Jewish child, that's only when it's not for the benefit of the Jewish woman. But let's say the Jewish woman has an abundance of milk, and because of the abundance of milk that's bothering her, then she maybe is allowed to nurse because it's for her benefit. Another explanation is we just learned that why may a Jewish woman not nurse the non-Jewish child? Because it brings children brings those children that they're going to be Ovdei Avodah Zarah. The Medrash actually says that all of the children that Sarah Imenu nursed ultimately became Gerim. So the concern of Megadlus Ben Avodas Kechavim doesn't apply. And then the Taz says an interesting explanation. The Taz says that when we learn that a Jewish woman should not nurse non-Jewish children, it's only when it's being done on a regular basis. But if it's not something that's being done on a regular basis, then the halacha might be that it's all right. Then the Chashuki Chemed has an interesting discussion, two interesting shailas he brings up. One is when we speak about a non-Jewish woman not nursing a Jewish child because the kashrus of the milk, what would be the halacha he discusses that there's the non-Jewish woman has a completely kosher diet, and then may one have his Jewish child nurse from such a woman? Because the point being that once this person who's nursing her has this kosher diet, so we're worried that the non-kosher food may chas v'shalom affect this Jewish child. But there's no non-kosher food in his diet because this woman is only eating kosher food. And he discusses this question and he quotes the Netziv that the halacha is that if she's only eating kosher food, then this concern doesn't exist. But then he asks another question. He says, what will be the halacha that this non-Jewish woman is only eating kosher food, but it's chametz in Pesach? And the question is, chametz is not inherently non-kosher. On Pesach, we're not allowed to eat chametz. So the Nachris, obviously, is allowed to eat chametz. And the question is, what would there be an issue? And he goes back and forth in discussing, how does the halacha look at chametz on Pesach? Does the halacha look at chametz on Pesach like it's regular machalos asuris, like regular non-kosher food, which of course we may not eat? Or does the halacha look at chametz on Pesach as food that is, this time of the year, we Jews may not eat the food, but it's not inherently non-kosher? And he brings a raya from a halacha that the Mishnah Berurah discusses about an animal. The Mishnah Berurah in Siman Tov Mem Ches Sif Katan Lamed Beis discusses a situation where there's an animal that we want to eat only eats chametz on Pesach. Now again, there's no isser for an animal to eat chametz on Pesach. On the other hand, is that considered behemish nesmatim isser, where Halacha says that a behemish nesmatim isser we shouldn't eat? Mishnah Berurah is machmer with that shaila. If the Mishnah Berurah is strict with that shaila, it seems that this is considered a situation of behema, it's considered an issue of behemish and espat mam iser, and if it's considered a situation of behemish and espat mam iser, if this non-Jewish woman eats chametz on Pesach, then the halacha is that you should not have such a woman nurse a Jewish child. The makar for this halacha is from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu, after Basya Bas Paroi, found Moshe Rabbeinu, and she took Moshe Rabbeinu to many Egyptian women to nurse. Moshe Rabbeinu refused to nurse. So we see that Moshe Rabbeinu did not want to nurse from a person who eats not kosher. And the Rishonim make a point, but they say, how can we bring a proof from Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu was the peh, was the mouth that was ultimately going to speak with the Shechina. So perhaps somebody like Moshe Rabbeinu, who was ultimately going to speak with the Shechina, is the one that's not allowed to eat something, nurse something not kosher, a nurse from a woman that eats not kosher. But how can we apply that to everyone else? And the Rishonim say a very powerful vart. The Rishonim say that every Jewish child has the potential of being a Moshe Rabbeinu. And since every Jewish child has the potential of being a Moshe Rabbeinu, we have to treat him like Moshe Rabbeinu. And just like Moshe Rabbeinu should not nurse from a non-Jewish woman who doesn't eat kosher food, so should every Jewish child be treated. Begins the Gemara Tanna Rabbanan, Bas Yisrael Atiyala Desavadis Kochavim. A Bas Yisrael should not participate in helping a non-Jewish woman have a baby. On the other hand, a non-Jewish woman should not participate in helping a Jewish woman have a baby. We're concerned that this woman may kill the baby. If there's going to be people supervising what's going on, then they'll watch that she shouldn't, chas v'shalom, do something to the Jewish child. And therefore, avaloi beinoi lebeino. If there's no one else there, then the halacha is that we have to be concerned. And as the Taz explains, what the Gemara means is that if there's going to be any opportunity for the nachris to be able to do harm to this child and get away with a legitimate excuse, then the halacha is that we have to be machmer. There's also discussion in the Rishonim, is there a difference between somebody who's a professional, and there we could be more lenient because the professional is concerned about their reputation, or was the concern that the Gemara is speaking is by everyone else. Moreover, the Pesachei Tshuva quotes the Shails, the Beis Yaakov, that this halacha that we're learning in the Gemara now is not only by Yoledes, is not only by a woman about to have a baby. The halacha is by any patient where we're concerned that the nachris may do something and be able to get away with it. We have to be careful. However, there are Paiskim that say, the Ritva already says it, that in a time where this doctor, this midwife, is concerned that they could get in trouble with the government, with the hospital, then the halacha is that there's room for leniency. The Yishalmi goes on to say that even though the Gemara just said that if it's being done where other people are supervising and watching, there's room for leniency, says the Yishalmi, that's only when this doctor, this midwife, is doing something that is very out there and you could see what they're doing. But if they're working inside the woman's body where nobody can see what they're doing, so even though if there are other Jewish people standing there, they're not seeing what they're really doing, and there we would have to be machmer. Ramei Omer, says the Gemara, Ramei says, even if there are other Jewish people standing there, Nami, we have to be machmen namiloi. The zimna namiloi yoda pusa. Sometimes she's going to put her head on the forehead of this baby, the katalei, and by that, killing him. And it won't be evident. And says the Gemara, kihi itasadam lechavita. There was, in fact, a story where there was a non-Jewish midwife who was having a dispute with another woman. And the way she derided her, they're saying a Jewish woman, the daughter of a Jewish midwife, so she said, I curse you that the amount of children, of Jewish children, that I have caused to die, the blood is like the foam on top of the river. So we see that they do that, and we have to be very careful. Rabbanan, how would Rabbanan respond? Rabbanan Amalach, loihi, that's not a concern, that she never did it. The only reason she said it was the Milsa, the Alma, who the Kimta, she was just saying it because she was trying to scare her, curse her, but it never really happened. We learned further in the Mishnah, Bas Yisrael, Tanik B'Nosh, Levez Kachavim. Tanabana Bas Yisrael, Tanik B'Nosh, Levez Kachavim. A Bas Yisrael should not nurse the child of Avodas Kachavim. Nishima Gadelas Ben La'Avodas Kachavim. Avodas Kachavim, on the other hand, like Tanik B'Nosh, Yisrael. Because as we're learning, B'Nosh, Shechshuda, Al Shvich Stamim, and who knows what she could do while she's supposedly nursing this child, Divrei Rameya. Chamram Averes Kachamim needs Benosh Bas Yisrael. Averes Kachamim can nurse a Jewish child. There's man Shacheres Amdus Algaba when she's being supervised. Ava Loi Beina LeBeina, not when they're doing it privately. Ramey Aimer Afilu Acheres Amdus Algaba Nami. Ramey again says even if there are Jewish people standing there, we can't be lenient. The Zim De Shayfle Samalei Mavroi. Sometimes she'll smear some poison on her breast, and the baby, when he nurses, katalei, that's how she'll cause that the baby should be watching. Tosfos says that whenever we speak about acheres omdus al gaba, when it needs to be supervised, he says, does not mean that somebody's standing there the entire time. Taisa says the definition of supervision is if the Jewish people are coming in and out all the time, and this non-Jewish woman doesn't know when they're coming, and they come often enough, all of that causes that the Jewish woman, should not do something dangerous. Moreover, however, says the Binyan Shlomo, the Gemara keeps on saying, Acheres Oimdus Al Gaba. Says the Binyan Shlomo, when the Gemara keeps on using that word, the way to understand that means that they're there, that they're Acheres, that there are many Jewish women there. If there's only one Jewish woman there, that would not be enough of a supervision. Says the Gemara, so we've learned the Machloikis of Ramei and the Chachamim, both by a midwife, and both by a nursing woman. And the Gemara's question is, why was it necessary to teach us the Machloikus twice? The Tzricha, says the Gemara, Deyashmin and Mieledes, if we only had this Machloikus mentioned by Mieledes, that we come Rabbanan Shari, that's where the Rabbanan are lenient. The Le'efshar, it's not so easy for her to kill the Jewish baby. Mishim Dacheres Roya Soysoy, there are other people who are constantly watching Avamanika, but by the nursing woman, as the Gemara just said, the Efshur, the Shaifle, Sam, Ladad Mavroy, Vekatale, there is a new concern that she may put some poison, and that poison she'll be able to kill the child without anybody noticing. Maybe in that case, they'll agree with Rameya that we shouldn't be lenient. V'yashmina Manika, and if we only had the case of Manika, we would perhaps suggest, but he come Rameya. That's where Rameya is machmer, because, as we just said, she may put some poison on her breast. Mishum de Saifele Sama Ladama Vroiva Katalei. Avma Yeledis, Deloy Efsher, when we're talking about a midwife, Heched, where it's not so easy for her to kill this child. Heched Acheres Omdus Al Gaba. So if there are other people who are standing there, maybe Eimei Maidel Rabbanan, maybe we could be more lenient. That's why Tzricha. Says the Gemara, our Mishnah said, the Bas Yisrael lo tiyaled es avodes kachavim, neshmi yaled es ben avodes kachavim. Remini asked the Gemara, Yehudas maledes avodes kachavim b'schar avloi b'chinam. Here we learn that a Jewish woman could be a midwife for a non-Jewish woman as long as she is getting paid. Amar of Yosef, b'schar shari, when she's getting paid, there's a new consideration. And what is the consideration? Mishum Eva. There's a concern that a woman, that people are going to say, look at the way the Jews treat the non-Jews, that they refuse to take care of them. And therefore, quote the Rishonim, it's only going to be in a case where a woman is known to be a midwife. And therefore, when she's called to help somebody have a baby, she can't just say, why are you calling me? But if a woman has any way of coming up with an excuse why she isn't doing it, then she shouldn't. She's not available. It's not really what she does. Under all such circumstances, the halacha is that she should try to get out of it. So Rav Yosef Lameima, the Alvude Alude Avodas Kachavim B'Shabbos B'Schar Shari, that the halacha is that even on Shabbos you're allowed to do it Mishum Eva. She could always use as an excuse. They don't demand Shabbos, a Jewish child, which will be ultimately Shomer Shabbos. For them, we have a right to be Mechal Shabbos, Aval Didchu, a non-Jewish child. The Loi Mintri Shabbos, that won't ever be Shomer Shabbos, Loi Mechalin Alei. So, Nana Gemara is introducing that we have no right to do so, even on Shabbos. Eva is not a heter on Shabbos. However, the Poskim make a number of very important points around this. Even though the Gemara is saying that Eva is not a heter on Shabbos, the question is, what does that mean when we say Eva is not a heter on Shabbos? Does that mean that Eva is not a heter for Nisa Deraisa? That we're not allowed to violate an Issa D'Raisa because of Eva, but if it's only an Issa D'Rabbanon, we can violate? Or does it mean that even by an Issa D'Rabbanon, if Eva is not a heter? That's Machlokes Rishonim. Then the Achronim discuss that even though we're learning not a heter of Eva, the heter Eva is a heter that is a very subjective heter. And therefore, the Poskim, the Chasam Sofer, and the Divrei Chaim both discuss what would be the halacha if a Jewish doctor, or we have Hatzala, refuses to do something on behalf of Nachram on Shabbos. And the repercussions of their refusal to create Sakonis Nefashis. And the Chasam Sofer already says, they lived in a world where they did that there was much less interaction between Yisraelim and Nachrim. And therefore, a Yisrael to refuse to do work on behalf of a Nachri on Shabbos was something that was much more understandable and much more doable. But in a world where we live, where Yisraelim and Nachrim are so intermingled, and there's a real concern that because of that strong connection, When a Yisrael will refuse to take care of a Nachrin Shabbos, the repercussions, as we all understand, can be quite serious. Under those circumstances, the Chasam Sofer says that maybe what we're learning here in the Gemara would not necessarily be applicable. Says the Gemara, Savar Rav Yosef Lameima, Anuki b'schar shari mishum aver. If a Jewish woman is getting paid to nurse a non-Jewish child, where we have a concern of Eva, it's mutter. Amal Abaya. So Abaya says, Yichayel Lameimer, the Israelis could always come up with an excuse. She could say, if she's a single woman, I will get married, and I don't want to nurse publicly. Nursing publicly will make the people should not want to marry me. My husband doesn't want me to do this nursing in other people's homes of other people's children. Agamar just taught us the halacha about Eva, and as we discussed, that the concept of Eva is a very subjective concept and really depends on the specific situation if Eva should be applied or if Eva should not be applied. But there's another concern that we've already discussed actually in our Masechta, and that's the concern of Schar Shabbos. If a Jew is doing something on Shabbos, even if he's allowed to do it, he's not allowed to get paid for what he's doing. So now we have a new concern, and that is the concern of, what happens, is the doctor allowed to get paid for doing service that he's allowed to do because of Eva, but it's Schar Shabbos? And the Chishuki Chemet suggests that if a Jewish doctor is doing something on behalf because of Eva on Shabbos, whatever salary he earns for doing something like that should be donated to tzedakah. Sover Rav Yosef Lameima, continues the Gemara. Hadatanya, this that we learned to the Braisa, Oib Chavim, Roy Behem Adaka, Loy Malav Lemeridim, if they fell into a pit where they could expire, we're not obligated to take them out, but we don't have to put them in. That says the Gemara. The Gemara's thought, as we're learning now in the Sugya, that Suki Bishkar, that if we're taking them out and getting paid for it, and we have also the concern of Eva, it's Mutter. Amalei Abaya. So Abaya says, as we've been learning throughout our Shir, we just don't want to apply Eva all over the place. And therefore, Amalei Abaya. Yochalai Malei. Kai Barei Igra. He could always say that my son is by the roof and I'm concerned that he shouldn't fall, and therefore I can't spend time trying to get you out of the pit. Inami Nikita's Le Zimdla Beidoyer. I have a court date and I can't miss the court date. And again, wherever there's a legitimate excuse, we're not allowed to just rely on Eva. Tanarav Avu Kamed Rav Yochanan. Ha'ev de Kachavim V'roi Behem Adaka. When we speak about Roy Behem Adaka, people who are the shepherds of Behem Adaka, they're always in halacha considered gazlonim. In halacha, these are always individuals who are considered thieves. The reason why the halacha always considers them thieves is because they take the animals into other people's property. The halacha is loy malin. If they fell into a pit, we don't extract them. V'loy meridin. Aval haminim. People who are attached to the avodah zarah. V'amasiris. People who are responsible that Jewish money should be put in the hands of, illegitimately in the hands of non-Jewish people. V'amumrim. People who have rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Such individual, meridin. The law is that we're allowed to even, so to speak, put them into the pit. It's important to point out that the Chazon Ish in Yerideya and Hilchos Shechita says that this halacha doesn't apply b'zman hazeh. He says that the halacha that we're learning in the Gemara, that such individuals should be treated this way, was only in a time and a place where the Hashgacha, the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, was so obvious. And if somebody lives in a time and a place where it's so obvious that there's a Yad Hashem, and he still doesn't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, such a person deserves, as the Gemara said, Maridim V'loy Malin. But unfortunately, we don't live in such a world. And we live in a world where There are questions. There are no questions. We accept everything a Kadosh Baruch Hu does, but not everybody is on that level. Not everybody is on that madrega. And therefore, because of that, the halacha is that this halacha isn't applicable nowadays. The Lubavitcher Rebbe Zatzal quoted his father-in-law, the Friedrich Lubavitcher Rebbe, that somebody once asked him that here we're learning that Marida, that the Mumrim and all these people, Marida V'Leimalan, are people that we should totally disregard. And why, was he asked, are you so involved in trying to bring such people closer to Hashem? That was the question that the Friedrich Lubavitcher Rebbe was asked. And the Friedrich Lubavitcher Rebbe answered that this halacha about Marida V'Leimalan actually appears, he said, at the end of Choshe Mishpat. And he says, only after I've learned and fulfilled everything that it says in Aruchayim and Yerideya and all of the rest of Choshe Mishpat, and I come to the end of the Choshe Mishpat and I come to this halacha, then I fulfill it. But I am so far from having fulfilled the rest of the Shulchan Aruch that I'm not, that this is not, that this is not the first halacha that I need to begin with. Amalei, so asked the Gemara, so Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Avuha, how could you say regarding the Mumrim, Marid and Velay Malin, and Nishayin the Brisa says regarding the mitzvah of Shavas Aveda, that we know that there's a halacha, we discussed halachas in Masechta Bava Metzia, that if we find something that somebody lost, we have to return it to them. The pasuk says, V'chein tassel chal avedas achicha, l'reva says hamumer, that we have to do whatever we can to return to the mumer his lost money. V'at amrit maridin, and here we're saying that we could completely eliminate them. Sasami mekan, so says Rabbi Yochanan, sami mekan mumer, because we should take out the mumer. Ask the Gemara, v'leshnei, Why didn't he answer that there are different types of mumrim? There's a mumer oichel nevelos l'tayavon and a mumer oichel nevelos l'hachas. A mumer oichel nevelos l'tayavon is when that meat is not available kosher, or it's cheaper when it's not kosher. So the person that's eating that meat is not because he doesn't believe or he has total disregard. He has a reason to go that way. But somebody, and therefore we shouldn't be so strict with him. And the hachas, where all things are equal, he could still get kosher, he could eat kosher and not kosher equally, that's the person that we have to be machmer. And therefore, we're going to differentiate between the brises, where it's a mumel hachas, mumel tiyavin. Says the Gemara, if we're going to say that this brisa, when it speaks about a mumer, is a mumer oichel nechves hachas, he's already in the category of a min. And the min was already mentioned here. So it must be that the mumer is even a mumer that oichel l'tei oven. Itmer, pligi, Rav Acha v'Ravina. We have a machlokes. What is the halacha between Rav Acha and Ravina? Chanam l'tei oven. That even somebody who does l'tei oven is considered a mumer. And once and the one that does l'hachas minhu, v'char amar afil l'hachas nami is a mumer, alei is a min, but a mumer l'tei oven is not considered a full-fledged mumer. Meisvei asked the Gemara, the Braisa says, ochel parash echad, if somebody ate one lice, or yitish echad, or one worm, hareza mumer, v'ochad l'hachasu, somebody who eats that kind of food is clearly a mumer l'hachas. There's no tei oven, there's no appetite to that, and tani, and we see that it's considered a mumer, not just a mim, even though he's a mumer l'hachas. And it says, the Gemara, that's not true. Even though he's eating something which we find so revolting, that doesn't make him a mumer l'hachas. Because human beings have curiosity, and he wants to eat a litam tam disur, he wants to taste this, even though it's something that's quite repulsive. Itmar, so we've been speaking about the mimen and the mina and the mesiris and the mumrim, that the halacha is maridna v'loy malin. Says the Gemara, we need to understand this b'raisa. According to the b'raisa, we're allowed to throw them into the pit. afuki mibaye. So is there no question that we're not allowed to, that we shouldn't pull him out? The Bryce is teaching about a case. If there was like a ladder or a step by the bar, Megarra, he could take away that step. The Nakala Ila, the person there is going to say to him, how are you doing this? He could always say, the Nakala Ila, I'm not doing it because I want to harm you. I'm worried that my animal should not use that step and go into the bar. And that's why if you have an excuse to do something like this, you have a right to do it. If the mumer fell into a well and there's a stone there, and he now goes and closes it, and the person that fell in says, how can you do something like this? I'm concerned that my animals are here and they shouldn't fall into this pit. That there was a ladder there, Masalkoi. And again, the victim who's in that pit will say, how are you taking away the ladder and taking away from me any opportunity to get out of the pit? I need the ladder elsewhere. And the way the Ritva explains this Gemara, the Gemara gives three different terutzim, but there's really no machloikis between the terutzim. Everyone is saying a different example that what they're allowed to do to take away their chance to live, and every excuse, as difficult as it is, is considered an acceptable excuse. The Tosfos points out that the Gemara says that we're not allowed to save the mumer. Why about they will have children and maybe the children will be good? The answer is that if we see that this parent is such a mumer that he has total disregard, for Judaism in such a significant manner, then the halacha says we don't have to think about him doing anything good for Jews, and that he'll have good children.